Our final section is entitled When Panic Attacks. Do you like a little pun there? I quite enjoyed it. Took me about 20 minutes last night to come up with that. So, the public's response to a false alarm of a terror attack on London's Oxford Street was widely described as panic. But there is evidence to suggest people fleeing an alert are entirely reasonable. The media reporting of a feared terrorist attack at Oxford Circus tube station on Friday showed a rare unanimity. Panic was the word that kept on coming up to describe the actions of passengers who fled the station after unsubstantiated reports of gunshots and the shoppers who barricaded themselves in stores. The problem with this word is that it implies not only that people are scared and running from danger, but also that they are acting irrationally, excessively, and even selfishly. Indeed, a number of people were injured, with 9 needing hospital treatment, even though we now know there was no terror attack. So my first question to the panel, do we live in constant fear? Yeah, Tina.
It saddens me to say, but it kind of does, because, you know, after the Brussels attack, since then I can feel the change, even myself, like, if someone leaves a backpack way too long, you're like, oh my god, what's gonna happen? And, I mean, even when the story came out, we were doing a pulse here, and then, like, the amount of police that was there, like, justly, I mean, you have to respond to this stuff, but the fact that you're like, oh yeah, the police should be there and stuff, like the fact that it's becoming a normality, like, and we have these incidents, we have these attacks, the panic, it kind of makes sure that it creates a panic with the public, even like in normal situations. So I think it's because of the attacks, but we might be creating it ourselves as well, which is kind of counter.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy then.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
Katie, what do you think?
I don't know if anyone has seen the ISIS, I don't want to call it Christmas poster. But
with Father Christmas and the dynamite.
Yeah, and where he said that that ISIS is going to be on our Christmas markets in France, in England and in Germany. Mm. Yeah,
what are they selling?
Huh? No, they are
not funny.
Blanks.
Lily.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that really makes.
Okay. Katie, sorry.
Sorry, that really makes me feel uneasy. I mean, I don't really think that you should have your life controlled by fear, but still, if I think of the terror attacks on the Berlin Christmas market last year, I'm definitely going to be more uneasy going to a Christmas market this year.
Mm. Joe?
I think very often it depends on where you live. I can see definitely, you know, if you're from London, for instance. Mm. I mean, our listeners will probably not know, because they don't move in our circles, but, you know, we went to the market, the Goose Fair in Nottingham, and there was a very substantial bang while we were in a drinking area, and everything just stopped. And then after a second or two, you realise that God knows what it was, but it wasn't an attack. I think, you know, if you come from London, which a lot of people on the panel do, you know, I can perfectly see why you would have, you know, a sort of a certain sort of tension in the air. I'm from York. There isn't the same sort of, it's not a big metropolitan city.
Mm.
There isn't the same sort of vibe about
angst.
Yeah, if you like. But I think that, you know, it's difficult in a way, because I think that nonetheless, with the Manchester attacks, for instance, I think there's a lot of sort of distress at how quickly that's been forgotten by contrast with a lot of the London events. Now, obviously, London's had far more, but it's not just numerical. I think there's a certain feeling in the north that it's fairly easy to forget. I think, generally speaking, in the round, there's kind of the feeling that, you know, you buy your teddies, you buy your flowers, put them down, and then you move on maybe a bit too quickly, I think. But I think going back to the point that's just been made, you know, regarding the sort of fear aspect, I think, you know, clearly that's what they want, though, isn't it? Is that they want people to be fearful, and that's all part of the tactics. And, you know, if you look at it objectively, ISIS is, you know, dying in its homeland. Mm. And so you could see this, as some sort of experts in the field do, as sort of, you know, a last, you
ditch
know,
attempt.
Yeah, yeah, basically, just to sort of flail and try and say whatever's, you know, most amenable to people's fears, if you like. But I think it's all circumstantial. And, you know, I can certainly see why Londoners would, you know, have a different feeling to what I would have, given where I'm from.
Sam, do we live in constant fear?
Well, I think Joe's absolutely spot on. I think it's worth remembering that the idea of terrorism is to cause terror. And I think if we spend our lives walking around feeling terrified of our own surroundings, our own homes, then and our own communities, then I think, as Joe sort of alluded to, I think the terrorists have won. That sounds very American to say that, but it does. It's effectively allowing or validating what they're doing. So I think we do live in constant fear, and I think we ought to start talking about how unlikely it is to die in a terrorist attack. I was reading earlier that worldwide last year, 2,000 people across on the entire planet, only 2,000 people died as a result of terror attacks. That's across the whole world.
2,000 more than need be.
Well, true, mm-hmm. true. But out of 2,000 people, I mean, if you think of all the things that people die of, I think you're three times more likely, this is in London, by the way, you're three times more likely to die of food poisoning in London than you are in a terrorist attack. I know, well, there's some horrendous restaurants. But,
gosh.
But no, you really are. People go out and they seem to feel like they're, there's a likelihood they're taking a risk, essentially. But I think it's 1 in 9 million. If you live in London, you have a 1 in 9 million chance of dying in a terrorist attack each year. And I think people need to remember that before they go about their business every day.
Lizzie,
I want to draw on 2 points there. Firstly, building on what Sam said about the actual statistics, I think it's 0.1% of bombs, homemade bombs, actually detonate. That's before we even talk about them actually doing any damage. So in that sense, you are not at a huge risk. Secondly, and I think this goes for URN as much as it goes for any major national news outlet, we perpetrate that fear. Because every time an incident happens, we discuss it on every single news show, and we discuss it for at least 48 hours. And that's a problem, because we are making people scared. We are naming the terrorists. We're saying who they associated with. We're saying where they went on holiday, what they look like. What we should be doing, and this is why people might not have noticed this, I refuse to speak on shows where we discuss terrorism normally. This is a slightly different event, as there wasn't actually an attack. But because personally, I feel that if we continue to discuss terrorism and discuss the terror acts, we give the terrorists what they want, which is creating fear. And the only way to stop that is to act like normal. And dedicating 48 hours worth of news to a single event is not normal.
But do people not have a right to know these things?
People have a right to know what happened and to know how it affected the people in there or whatever country it is where the event happened. I do not think that people need to be bombarded by it. I do not think...
So you don't agree with the glorification of the terrorist?
No.
Their pictures spread across social media news channels?
Unless the terrorist is still at large, which did not happen in any of the attacks in the UK this year, why do we need to know what they look like?
Okay, good. So my second question is, coming off of that really, have we become desensitised to attacks when they occur? Louis?
Well, I would argue no, based on partly what Lizzie has been saying. I think that, terror... to some extent, we accept terrorism in this post 9/11 world as something that happens. And I think that we are desensitized to attacks that appear outside of our bubble or our country. But I think that when it does occur, it is the media frenzy. You know, every man and his dog is talking about, you know, the terrorist attack, and it's like, oh yeah, he used to go to, you know, Ken's Fish and Chip Shop on in Shadwell, and everyone's like, oh, I've been there, the next person I see could be a terrorist. And then there's this whole, I mean, apologies to Ken, I'm sure your fish and chip shop doesn't harbour terrorists, but you know, it's this kind of stupidity, this herd mentality that we really need to start using a bit more critical thinking about, you know, to and not give in to mass hysteria about terrorism, because as Sam did say, then the terrorists will win.
I sort of joining this question to my previous point, I think one of the problems we have here is the commercialization of our news networks. They thrive off selling a lot of papers or having a long time, a long time on the news. And the easiest way to get viewers or readers is to create something that everyone wants to read. And coming to your question, which is, have we been desensitized? This is a completely unsubstantiated claim because it's a personal experience.
Yes.
But the day of the Manchester attacks, I cried all day. Every time I turned on Facebook or the news, I couldn't stop crying because they kept showing the picture of the, what was it, 6-year-old girl who died. And they do that for a reason. They do it because it will make me cry. Not me personally, but it'll make one cry. Mm. And they do that because people keep watching. And so I think it's a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy here that we aren't desensitized because the media won't let us be desensitized, because they choose the most heart-wrenching stories because it sells more papers.
Right, my last question to the panel this evening: is there or will there be ever an end to this phenomenon of the world in which we live at the moment, of children knowing about terrorism, people being worried about going to their capital cities or their large cities to shop in the summer or in the or at Christmas time? Tina?
Out of the bottom of my heart, I hope it will. But if you're realistic about it, I doubt it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, ISIS was, I believe, the next thing after Al-Qaeda and 9/11. And, you know, it's... people.
Before that, it was the IRA.
Yeah. Yes, my mum always says your problem is fundamental Islam, and our problem was the IRA. Every generation has their struggle.
Yeah, and people see that it as Lizzie said, it actually, and Sam said, it actually works. They want to fear, or Joe, I don't know.
All of us.
Of us? Yeah, said like they want to make people panicked. And, you know, the whole terrorist attacks, how harsh it is to say, they fulfill their purpose, like, in their mind. So I don't think they'll ever, like, stop doing it. And yeah, you can say, like, unless they're caught, but then there'll be a new one.
Mm. Sam?
Yeah, just to build on Lizzie's point in order to answer this question, I think it will never end as long as not only do we have this problem with news and media, but I think it's 24-hour news and media that's the problem. I think we used to have a situation...
It's like nuclear bombs there. You can't disinvent them.
You can't, but I think we do need to at least be able to identify the problem. And I think if we look back, we used to have a system whereby you would get your news at the end of the day with the evening news, maybe on TV or radio, or in the morning paper. And in doing so, you would get news that had already happened. So you'd read about what had happened the previous day or what had happened that day. Whereas now, what happens, if you look at 24-hour news, as Lizzie was describing, is news is now 24 hours. So they're not describing what's already happened. They're describing what's happening, and they're speculating as to what might happen.
Mm.
And that's where the fear and the... because they essentially, if you watch these things, these news things, they just go on and they just talk.
They need to drag out for the very fact
they talk about shots fired.
They read
people's Twitter feeds out when they're talking absolute rubbish. They need to... I think they really do. we really do need to start distrusting 24-hour media and start trusting our papers again and our evening news.
Joe, final thoughts?
Yeah, I think as regards the question, I don't think it ever will go away, because terrorism's been around for...
Maybe not go away then, but maybe evolve?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know, like, look at the Crusades. Yeah. That was effectively...
Oh, gosh.
Well, no, I'm saying this has existed throughout history.
No, but
it doesn't matter how early you go, it's always existed.
I think it's always going to exist, but I think the thing is that, you know, the head of MI5 got an awful lot of flak sort of a few months ago for saying this is the most serious terror threat this country's ever faced. But the point being also that as the threat evolves, so does our capacity to... fight it, if you like. I mean, you know, I don't want to presume people's parents' age, but, you know, my parents, you know, as you were saying, in terms of your parents, you know, work in London, you know, a bomb goes off in a pub just down the road or whatever. And so it wasn't sort of a busy tube station or whatever. It was the most ordinary of circumstances. You know, well, you want a pint for lunch? Oh, no, the IRA's just blown it up. You know, it was the most ordinary of circumstances. So I don't think the phenomena ever will go away, but I think it's kind of... it's in a sense providing or making sure that there's not the grounds for that sort of ideological contest to take place, essentially, whether it be Republican terrorism or Islamic fundamentalism.
This is URN.